It is good to see you this morning and good to be together again. In terms of our schedule this morning, especially in case you're visiting with us, while it's still on the wall up here, I want to point out we do plan on partaking of the Lord's Supper right after we study together. So if you do not yet have the elements for the Lord's Supper, those are available on the table right inside the front door. And this would be a good time to get those so that we're ready for that right after we finish looking at the Word of God. And then following the Lord's Supper, Chris will be leading us in three songs before we dismiss for the day. And if you're visiting with us, we'd invite you to fill out the online visitor card, the fourlakescoc.org/visitor, the QR code on the wall and on the monitor and on the bulletin and so on. As we get started, I just want to give a brief encouragement. As the city and county health department seems to be lifting the mask mandate this coming Tuesday, March 1st, the COVID situation does seem to be getting better. We're so thankful for that. So if you're joining us only online or on the phone each week, we would invite you to take this as an opportunity to jump back into worshiping with us in person. The cartoon goes back to 1986, but I love the concept. If you haven't been with us for a while, consider March to be Amnesty Month, and I appreciate that. So come on back, we miss you, that kind of thing, and no questions asked, I guess we might say. And another cartoon I saw this week was from years back, and the church sign basically said, out front of the church, it said, "Please give us another chance." So there's that side of it, too. And I don't know what had happened at that church in that cartoon, but they were saying, "Give us another shot, please, one more time, and we'll try better next time." So I know a lot has happened over the last couple of years. I feel like I've personally dropped the ball here and there, so maybe a restart, and it should be a good week this week. So hoping for good things. And maybe consider jumping back into the assembling of ourselves together as the writer of Hebrews describes it. And I know some of you have some very good reasons for not coming together, some health concerns and that kind of thing. We totally understand that, so keep that in mind. For those who may not want to cuddle up to your neighbor here in this room over the coming weeks, we do still have the monitor downstairs, and that's why I put the picture of Stuart up here. So this is kind of always on downstairs. And so if you get overwhelmed or too many people or don't want to be around others too close, feel free to escape down the stairs. And a little remote down there, you can adjust the volume. I don't think you can fast forward through service, but it's a live stream. So yeah, that's kind of the way it is. But that's downstairs. Just want to let you know. And a reminder for all of us, assuming they do lift the mask mandate this week, if somebody's still wearing a mask next week, I'm taking that kind of as a cue, golden rule style. I'm going to give them some space because there's a reason why they're doing that. And I'm not going to run up and hug, which I wouldn't do anyway. But anyway, I'll just take that as my cue, you know, get permission or whatever, and keep that in mind going forward here. And I'm thankful for like the HEPA filters and that, and Gary's hard work on that. How cool during this point in history, one of our members is responsible for ventilation and operating rooms at UW Hospital. That is too cool. I mean, positive, negative pressure filters. They've got filters at UW as big as this whole building, and he works with all of that. So the time came, we said, "Gary, we need help with clean air." And he's like, "I got you." And so we're thankful for his skill in doing that. This morning we've come together, we have the privilege, the responsibility of sharing God's plan of salvation. So the good news, Jesus came to this earth, he lived a perfect life, he died. He died on the cross, he bled, he shed his blood for us, he was buried, he was raised up on the third day. And we respond to that good news by believing it and by turning away from sin. We put our faith in the power of God to save us. We allow ourselves to be buried with Jesus in baptism, which is an immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins. And as usual, we have an example to share this morning. This one comes to us from through Michael Madden at the Spring Hill Congregation down in Florida. A week and a half ago, he says, "Dave Perry was baptized this afternoon. We welcome him to our family at the Spring Hill Church of Christ. All glory and praise to God." So we're thankful for Dave's decision to obey the gospel, and we want to invite you to do the same. If you have any questions, you want to study together, give me a call or pull me aside after worship, and there's nothing we'd rather do than to study with you there. So get in touch with us. This morning, we are concluding our series of lessons that's being based on an extended and somewhat sporadic study of Proverbs. So we're in a series within a series for the past five lessons. We're working our way through Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom is pictured as a woman. So wisdom personified, or Lady Wisdom, as we've described her in this study. Several weeks ago, we introduced Lady Wisdom by looking at some essential questions. This is who she is. This is what she does. This is what she represents. And she willingly and openly shares her wisdom with all people. So it's not a behind-the-scenes, sneaky, temptation-at-night kind of thing. as was going on with the adulterous woman in chapter 7, but this is Lady Wisdom. This is the good side. And we continued the next week with the next little section, looking at what we described as Lady Wisdom's associations in verses 12 and 13. There's some things she likes and doesn't like in terms of relationships. So the same with us. Then we then looked at the benefits to taking her advice. Solomon points out wisdom is essential for the proper use of both power and wealth, especially among leaders in the world. And so he's talking to his sons, who would probably someday become king, and this is what he points out to them. And then last week we looked at wisdom's close relationship with the eternal mind of God, and we found that wisdom was with God before, during, and after the creation of the world. And obviously, Jesus was as well. And so there are some parallels between Lady Wisdom and the Lord Jesus. Well, this morning we come to the end of this chapter, the last little paragraph here, and we'll notice as we get to the text in just a moment that Solomon wraps all of this up with a therefore in verse 32. So Solomon explains in this paragraph that the decision as to whether to follow Lady Wisdom, it is a consequential choice that we make. And it is really a choice between life and death. So what he's saying here is, everything I've said about Lady Wisdom up to this point in this chapter, it is relevant. She makes herself available. She influences relationships. She influences how we handle power and wealth. She reflects the eternal mind of God. And then here this morning in this last paragraph, he's saying all of this matters. All of this is incredibly important. The decision to whether we follow Lady Wisdom has some eternal consequences. So it is a consequential decision. She starts then by saying, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me." So this is important. And again, as we're about to discover, it is a matter of life and death. Before we get back to the full text in just a moment, and as we prepare to listen to what Lady Wisdom has to say, I want to point out we don't often think about life and death today. You face a serious illness, obviously you do. There's a war, we do briefly, then we get distracted with other things. Maybe we're just too busy. Maybe we distract ourselves on purpose. Maybe we just don't slow down enough to think about these things regularly, but maybe we should, because we die, don't we? All of us are going to die unless the Lord returns first. We will all step through that door. Death can come at any time. It can be a surprise. Sometimes it's expected after the end of a long terminal illness. Here in the United States right now, we have an average life expectancy of just over 78 years, and that varies through time, through the years. I think we've lost a year and a half in life expectancy due to COVID over the past couple of years. So right now it's dipped down just over 78 years, roughly 76 years for men, just over 80 years for women, but averaging right around 78 years. So before we get to the text, to try to get us to think about death for just a moment, that it is coming for all of us, I want to try to illustrate what 78 years looks like. And you guys know I'm not an illustrator. I did the best I could. So we'll start with a box representing a week of time. So one box equals 1 week. This box is a week. And then we move on to 52 of these boxes linked together here representing a year. So the year on the wall up here, this line represents a year. We then combine 78 of these lines, and we're looking at the average lifespan for those of us who live here in the United States right now in little chunks of 1 week each. In the next slide, I've tried to break it down a bit to try to help plug ourselves into this illustration with the early years and then the school-aged years, K through 12. A lot of times people go to college for 4 years, so threw that in there, followed by a career, followed by retirement in the mid-60s. And obviously that doesn't apply to all of us. All of us take different paths in this life. This would be kind of a generally speaking, this is the way life usually goes for many people. And not only is this a generalization, but some of you are beyond the age of 78. And so you are literally off the chart, and that's a great thing. So you're kind of down there by the communion table. You're beyond the 78 years down there. So that's awesome. Personally, I am roughly 40 weeks into my 49th year. So I've put my star up. I've got a star on the wall. And this is roughly where I am in this picture right now. And then I started thinking of some famous people from the world history, the recent past, and I put another star up here at 33 for the age at which Jesus was when he died. And like some of you, I remember turning 34 and thinking to myself, I have now outlived the Lord. Did you think about that when you turned 34? I mean, that crossed my mind, at least. It's kind of a strange thing to think about that in those terms. I put another star up here for Martin Luther King Jr., who died at the age of 39. I put another star up here for John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated at the age of 46. Put another star up here for Abraham Lincoln, who died at the age of 56. And then put another one down there at the bottom for Joe Biden. Okay, I think he's 79. He's a number of weeks into his 79 years. And I've done this to try to encourage us, I guess, to think about our own mortality, that it is coming for all of us. These are just averages. Sometimes we go longer. Sometimes we don't make it to 78. But all of us will die. So we're just keeping that in mind as we start studying this passage. And I can share this because of the therefore. The choice as to whether we follow Lady Wisdom, it is a consequential decision. Sometimes we play a role in how long we live, don't we? Healthy eating, certain behaviors we engage in or refuse to, that kind of thing, exercise, diet, or whatever. Sometimes others make that decision for us, and we've seen this in some of these names on the wall up here. But the choice as to whether we follow Lady Wisdom is also one of those decisions. And it's not just the length of our life, it's also the quality of the years that we live, especially from a spiritual point of view. So as we finish this chapter, I want us to look together then. This is the last few verses of Proverbs chapter 8, the words of Lady Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and those who hate me love death. So as we think about Lady Wisdom, as the personification of the eternal mind of God, I want us to apply the whole chapter by breaking this passage down into two parts, which I believe Solomon does. So we have the encouragement to follow Lady Wisdom. That choice has some life or death consequences. So that's our breakdown, life and death. So let's start with a choice of life. And this is explained to us in verses 32 through 35. At the beginning, Lady Wisdom is begging Solomon's sons to listen. Listen to my wisdom, because there's a blessing on those who keep my ways, she says. Not only are they encouraged to listen, they're also invited to heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. And the blessing is for those who watch daily at her gates, for those who wait at her doorpost. And so she describes not just listening, but also an eagerness to listen, being there before the gates are open. Maybe you've been in the situation where you've had to get somewhere early, maybe buying concert tickets or out, you know, Black Friday, standing in line kind of thing. We get there early and we wait before something is open if it's important to us. And so there is this eagerness that's described in this passage. Speaking of eagerness to get in, I think of Cottage Cafe down here. Good stuff. Breakfast early on Sunday morning. They open at 6 a.m. and usually get there a few minutes before. I noticed about a year ago there was another old guy who started getting there exactly 10 minutes before, and he explained the clock in his car is wrong and he can't reset it. So he always gets out of his car and walks to the door like at 5:50 on Sunday morning, and I kind of felt sorry for him. So I've been getting out with him the last 9 months or so, and we talk about cool old guy stuff, like this morning we saw Venus in the sky. And we talked about his recent gambling trip out to Nevada and that kind of thing. But I guess the point is we get early to places that we really want to be at. And that's our priority. Being there every day, eager to learn, is the way that she describes it here. I think one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts, where Cornelius, if you remember, calls for Peter. So Cornelius has been praying to God. Peter gets the vision. They come together. And when Peter shows up, Cornelius says to Peter in Acts 10:33, "So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord." And that right there is an encouraging verse to me. So Peter was there to preach the word of God. Cornelius had his whole family assembled for the purpose of listening. And Peter dare not let him down. He was there not to preach his own opinion, but to preach the word of God. And they were eager to hear this. So when something is important to us, we show up on time. We even get there early. There was a professor back in my college days who, in the business department at Fried Hardeman, who had the habit of locking the classroom door at the time the lecture was supposed to start. So 7:30 in the morning, he went over to the door, locked it with a deadbolt. And if you missed it, too bad. You know, see you in a couple days. And people started showing up to that class on time. They didn't want to get locked out like that. But we show up early for what we appreciate, and it's this eagerness that Solomon is encouraging in chapter 8. Listening to Lady Wisdom may not be convenient. It has a way of disrupting our schedule because we're eager to learn. We want to absorb that wisdom. But pursuing her is worth it. And notice the reason comes in verse 35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The Lord is the source of that light. That favor comes from the Lord. So God is a source of life. He is a giver not just of our 78 years on average. He is a giver of eternal life. We're familiar with the passage where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So it's not just the 78 years, but this is speaking on an eternal basis, not just a long life here on this earth either. Life could refer to fullness of life, a good life, a blessed life, a well-lived life, or a fulfilling life. And the reason is wisdom just has a way of making life better. And Jesus says in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So not just the number of years, but the quality of life, an abundant or fulfilling life. And this is what comes from following and pursuing Lady Wisdom. Those who search for her, those who find her, will find life, and they'll find and obtain favor from the Lord. So first of all, then, this choice as to whether to follow Lady Wisdom, it is a consequential decision. If we choose to follow, if we choose to obey, that blessing is life. As we return to the text before we close, I want us to close with verse 36 and notice that the choice to reject Lady Wisdom is a choice that leads to death. So death is the consequence. She says in verse 36, "But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." So on one hand, those who seek Lady Wisdom find life. On the other hand, the one who misses wisdom injures himself or treats him or herself violently. That's the meaning of that word. And the ones who hate Lady Wisdom actually love death. When we turn away from wisdom, the consequences can be severe when we do unwise things, spiritually and physically. We have some of the consequences that come along with the decision to follow Jesus. So notice, the decision to follow Lady Wisdom is consequential. It's a choice between life and death. So also the choice as to whether we follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus in John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So that decision, the Jewish leaders, they were having a hard time with that. A few chapters later in John 5:39 and 40, Jesus warns them and says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." So spiritual life and death, it is a decision that we make. We choose life by walking in wisdom, or we miss it, and we treat ourselves violently. We hate wisdom, and we end up loving death. To choose death, even eternal death, it is a choice we can hardly imagine, but it is a choice that we make. We may think of the warning God gave Ezekiel to pass along to the people in Ezekiel 33:11. "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" So God invites us to choose life, but sometimes we do choose spiritual death. And I think we need to point out before we close here, there was a time even in his life when Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, also chose to ignore his own wisdom, and he chose to leave God for at least a time. And that brought some great pain and destruction into his life, just as he predicted here. But this is the warning. The one who sins against Lady Wisdom injures himself, and all of those who hate Lady Wisdom actually love death. As we come to the end of this chapter, we've got the reminder that the choice as to whether we follow Lady Wisdom, it is a choice with some life or death consequences. It is impossible, in fact, to be neutral on this. We can't just put it off. We can't be, oh, I don't know, that kind of thing. That won't do it. To not choose is to not choose the way of life. So choosing to follow Lady Wisdom, it involves an active pursuit. Either we are showing up early to the classroom, so to speak, eager to learn, or we really aren't concerned about this pursuit at all. There is no neutrality in this. And the same is true of following Jesus. Either we choose to follow or we don't. And to not follow him is the choice of spiritual death. We think of what Mark wrote in Mark 8, 34 through 38. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Either we are all in on this, or we've decided on death as the default. But either way, we take up our cross on a daily basis. We follow Jesus and live, or we don't, and we give up our soul. And what's true of following Jesus is also true of wisdom. And I know we've referred to James 1:5 a few times over the past few weeks. But notice again, as we close, the focused determination in this passage. This is James 1, verses 5 through 7. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So in closing, following Lady Wisdom is a decision that we make. And so this morning we're going to pray for wisdom, and let's make the decision to listen to Lady Wisdom, to keep her ways, to follow her instruction, not to neglect it, because we know that to follow Lady Wisdom is a choice with some life and death consequences. As we close this study, before Aaron leads us in the prayers for the Lord's Supper, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are the only wise God, the source of eternal wisdom. This morning we ask for wisdom. We ask for the wisdom from above that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. We pray that we would always be humble and obedient, trusting your word. Thank you, Father, for blessing us and for taking care of us as a congregation. Thank you for watching over Abe this week. Be with John as he continues his struggle with cancer, as he continues treatment. We're thankful for such good medical care that we have here in the Madison area. Father, we ask for your blessing on our brothers and sisters in Ukraine this morning. We pray that you would be with the governing authorities in this world so that we as your people would be able to live quiet lives in all godliness and dignity as your word has instructed. We pray that your light would shine through us as your people, especially in difficult times. Lord, come quickly. In Jesus we pray. Amen.